by moment as we think on the Lord and think on the things of God. And one of the important things that God says in His Word is that we are to focus on Him. That's the number one priority. You might focus on a lot of things in your life, but the Bible says to focus on Him. Let's look in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The building blocks of life are faith, hope, and love. The Bible makes that very clear, I think. And so we're talking about faith, hope, and love. I'm talking about the last few Sundays on faith. Next Sunday we'll probably talk about hope if I get that far. But I want to get into the Word of God today and show you what it says about faith. It's not really complicated. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him," meaning the Lord. "For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I am blessed because God first came to us. The Bible says we didn't choose God, He chose us. And that gives me a lot of confidence because my confidence is not in me, it's in God. And He chose us. So He chose us very simply because He created us, but also because He wanted a family. It's amazing that God would want a family, but you know, it's interesting. One of the first things God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't want to be alone either. And so He is pulling out today a family for His name. It's interesting that we have God outside of our time domain, looking at our time domain, and explaining to us in the Word of God what He is going to do, what He's done in the past, what He's doing now, and what He's going to do in the future. You say, how can God do that? Because He can see the whole thing all at once. It's like somebody in a helicopter looking down at a parade, and they can see the beginning, they can see the end, they can see the middle. God can see the whole thing. So He wrote it all down, His general plan, in a book called the Bible, the Word of God. And He gave us that information. We know in some detail what's going to happen in the future. We shouldn't have any question about it. You don't have to get it out of the newspaper. You can get it out of the Bible. We know the plan of God. We know that there's going to be a time when He wraps up this age that we're in. He's going to start a new age. It's called the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. He's going to reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, right on this earth. We will be with Him. It sounds amazing when you listen to the news and read the newspapers that's going to take place, but it is. We also know that eventually He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and we are going to be on that earth with Him forever. Heaven and earth are going to come together. There's going to be one God, and we're going to be His people. Hallelujah. That's going to be wonderful. And we have that in our hearts. We know that true because the Bible says so. And so it's important that we know the Bible, we understand the Bible, and we've talked about the fact here in this verse, Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, and faith is very simply believing in what God says. Faith is believing what God says. But there's more to it than that. A lot of people do that part. The Bible says that the devil believes, but he's lost and going to hell forever. So there's more to it than just believing. You have to believe not only that God is, you have to believe that He loves you, He has a purpose for your life. You have to understand that we are not only to believe the Word of God, listen to me, we are to do the Word of God. We are to practice the Word of God on a daily basis. It's not just there to read and say, oh, isn't that nice, and I'll just wait till Jesus comes and everything's going to be wonderful. No, it's wonderful now if you're following Jesus. It's interesting to me that He called the disciples and then He gets them all together and He says, now they were wondering, well, what are we going to do? And He told them very simply, follow me. So we're supposed to be following Jesus on a daily basis. Yes, we're going to follow him into the thousand-year reign. Yes, we're going to follow him into eternity. But we're supposed to be following him right now. We're supposed to be doing what he's called us to do and what he showed us to do. He spent 3.5 years showing us what to do. And some people just don't understand. They said, oh, that was God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He didn't do those things as God. He did it as man filled with God. And that's exactly what we are. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, Christ in us, as the Holy Spirit's in us, you receive this Holy Spirit as salvation. That means that the Holy Spirit's going to work through you if you allow him to do the very same works that Jesus did. Do I hear an amen? You see, that's the issue. And if we aren't doing these works in some way, then we've missed what faith is all about, and we've missed what the Word of God says. Now, so really the definition of faith is that verse right there. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You have to believe that he is. You have to believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's salvation, doing the works of God, rewards of God. That's the way it works. And you will be paid. I always think, boy, people say, this is just costing me a whole lot, this Christianity. No, you're going to get paid a whole lot more. You see, what it cost us is a small thing compared to the rewards in heaven that we're looking forward to receiving. But the main issue is looking forward to being with him. That's the issue. The rewards are going to be nice. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And we talked about already how you receive faith. It's a gift of God, just like salvation. Man cannot work for salvation, and you can't work for faith. You have to receive it. We receive the very faith of Jesus Christ, who knew that when he went to the cross, he was going to rise from the dead 3 days later. How did he know that? Because God had already announced that and planned it. And another reason he knew it, he spoke it. He spoke it to the disciples. He spoke it to whoever listened. He said, there's going to be a time when they're going to take me, they're going to put me on that cross, and they're going to bury me, and I'm going to rise in 3 days. And that's what I'm talking about. When you speak the word of God, you're speaking by faith. And when you speak the word of God by faith, believe it or not, it's going to come to pass. But you will believe it because it's the Word of God, you see. So it's important to speak the Word of God out loud. It's not just for preachers. You should be preaching in your house to whoever will listen. And if there isn't anybody, preach to Jesus. He loves to hear his own word. Are you listening to me? There's nothing he likes better than for you to read the word out loud to him. It's a wonderful thing. You say, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do today. I know one thing, read the word of a God out loud to Jesus. And, of course, we know prayer and those other things, but the issue is that we do these things by faith, which means we believe in what the word of God says. And then how do you use your faith? Well, you go through everything in this life, good and bad, believing that Jesus means what he says. That's how you live in life. You go, there's good times, bad times, and all kinds of times, but the thing is you believe Christ through them all. And that's how your faith grows. When you go through some rather tough times believing in Jesus, your faith is going to grow. And well, actually, Jesus tests our faith. We talked about that. He tests our faith so it'll grow. Grace teaches school, and she tests the kids and sees how their growth is going, but because of the test, they're going to learn it over again. And that's the way you learn. You go over it and over it and over it and over it. You practice it. You do it. Pretty soon, you know, you just have to trust God. If he says he's going to do something through you, he's going to do it. He's going to anoint you to do that. And we're going to talk about that, a little bit more about that. I'm just reviewing right now. And I want to show you a couple of scriptures in the Bible because there's something really interesting here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And you say, how do we know we can believe the Word of God? Well, let me give you the scriptures on that, and somebody else asked you, then you'll be able to tell them. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. And it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, didn't come from any reasoning of man. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How did man get the Word of God? God spoke to certain people, and they either they had scribes that wrote it down. And incidentally, they spoke it. Everything they wrote down, they spoke. And when you speak the Word of God, it becomes alive and things are created. That's the way God created the world. He spoke, trees be, and trees were, animals be, animals were, and so on. He spoke, the power of God comes through the Word of God, and it's a creative power, and so He spoke. That's why you need to speak the Word of God into your own life as well as other people. It's for you as well as other people. Now, some scholars think, and I think this is probably true, when God gave His word to Moses, He not only gave him the word, He gave it letter by letter by letter by letter. Not just words, He gave it by letter. Every letter precisely given to him. And the reason was that He gave it by letter because every letter has a number. Every number has a meaning. And that's the way the Hebrew scholars studied the Word of God. They studied it not only word for word, they studied it letter by letter. And they have found out, and I believe this is true, I don't know if all of it is that everybody says, but there is such thing as Bible codes. And they found a lot of things written in the Bible about our history right now, but it was written in code, in certain letters, in certain sequences, and they've learned a lot of this by computers. It's really interesting. The whole creation of God is based on mathematics. Much higher mathematics than we know. Even the Word of God is based on mathematics. It's really interesting. And this thing, God put everything that man needs to know in His Word about any subject you want to know. It's in there. And so the Hebrew scribes didn't just study the words, they also studied each letter because each letter had a meaning. And not only did they study each letter, they studied the spaces between the letters because that had a meaning. So every part of it, even the way it was constructed, the way it was spoken, the way it was recorded, the way it was put down, even the spaces between the words had a meaning as far as the Hebrew scholars were concerned. So this book is inexhaustible. You cannot ever learn it all in this life. In fact, I believe there'll be Bible studies in heaven just to show us some of the stuff we didn't understand in the Word of God. Now, do I think this is the whole Word of God? No, I don't. There are things that God said that were not written down. He told prophets in certain situations, He said, don't write this down because I guess the world wasn't ready for it yet. You see that in other places in the New Testament where Paul was told not to say this or something. He heard from God. There was information. So we don't have it all here, but we have everything we need for this life. And we'll get what we need for the next life. Do I hear an amen? Now, so we have faith that this word did not come from man, it came from God, as we're going to see also looking at this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. This word was given to be used. Every single one of you can use it. It can benefit you. It can benefit other people. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 we'll start as we look into the word. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Now what he's telling him is, you continue in the things I taught you to do. So there's more to the Word of God than just coming to church. It's continuing in the things of God. Now, you grow as a child. As 5 years from now, you should be at a certain level. 10 years from now, you ought to be at a higher level of knowledge in the Word of God. You should be continually growing. I believe we're even going to grow when we're with the Lord, because there's so much that He is that we do not yet understand. Verse 15, for that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise unto salvation. Why was Timothy saved? Because somebody gave him the Word of God. That's what it says. My mother, who didn't even know the Lord, used to read to me out of a Bible book. It wasn't the Bible. It was a book about the Bible. It was a book about Samson and David and King Saul and Moses and all those characters. And that contributed to me coming to Christ when I was 33, because my mother read the Word of God to me out of these Bible story books. And this says that Timothy came to the Lord because his mother read him the Scriptures. That's what it says. So we're not to let children make up their own mind. We're to give them the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Today they tell kids, oh, they just let them go. Let them kind of be on their own, and they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay right into eternal hell. Are you listening to me? Let's tell it like it is. Let's quit messing around with this and just tell it like it is. You fill kids with the Word of God, and it's going to make it, they're going to come to Christ. They'll be drawn to Jesus. You're going to put a seed in there that's going to grow. And if you didn't do that before, do it every way you know how. I don't care if they're 54-year-old kids. Give them the Word of God. And then start working on the grandkids. That's just what the Word of God said, didn't it? Amen. We're just doing what the Word of God says. Pray a blessing on your kids and your grandkids. Pray the blessing of God. You say, well, where do you learn that? Well, look back in the Old Testament where you see, the whole Bible fits together. It's not the Old Testament's past and now we're in the New Testament. The whole thing fits together. There's pictures of the New Testament doctrine in the Old Testament people, you see. And then you have the prophecy in the Old Testament coming to pass in the New Testament. The whole thing fits together. It's like a puzzle. You take a piece here, you take a piece there, you fit them together, and pretty soon you see the picture. Do I hear an amen? That's why you have to study the whole thing. You have to study the whole thing. It's important to read the Psalms out loud, read the Proverbs out loud. And in fact, the Bible says you want to be wise. What do you read? Proverbs. Absolutely correct. I have a feeling that's probably what Timothy's mother read him, was probably the Proverbs, because they had the Old Testament back in those days. Well, let's go on. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That says right there that every child, even though he knows the Word, has to make a choice. Everybody has to make a choice. You take in the Word of God, and then you make a choice. People are making a choice all over the place. The world's making a choice, trying to get rid of the Bible, Jesus, and everything else. But I have news. He's coming again. Hallelujah. He's going to introduce himself to those that are rejecting him right now. Do I hear an amen? All right. Now let's go back to the Word. It says in verse 16, here it is, all Scripture. Does it say some or all? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. It came out of the mouth of God. It's His Word. You know, Jesus had to be careful because everything came out of His mouth. He could be creating things all over the place if He wasn't careful. That's a fact. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from any church. It didn't come from any denomination, it says. It came from God. And it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that means women too, children, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you want to be perfect in God's eyes in this life, be in the Word and do the Word of God. That's basically what it says. Now, there's some people that have more faith in the world, the flesh, and the devil than they do in the Word of God. And that's where they're going. You see? I wasn't any different before I got saved, don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of anybody. If I hadn't got saved, I'd been in the same mess. You see? If God hadn't chosen me, my mother hadn't read out of that book. If my barber, I didn't even know it, was praying for me when I was a little kid. I wouldn't be here today. You see, that's it. Started with God. Started with God. What's the opposite of faith? Doubt. Not believing. Some people say, oh, I believe, and they don't do anything. I got news, they don't believe. What you do is what you believe in life. What you do is what you believe in life. You see. And so, what's the Bible say? Well, you can look at somebody's life and tell pretty much where they're at. Now, we're not to judge everybody. We're supposed to be praying for them. But the issue is you can, including your own. You see. Matthew 21:21. Well, if the word's good, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I agree with you. We're in agreement. Matthew 21:21. If I'm not careful, I'm going to get excited about this. All right, Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, they were always asking him questions. I would too. I'd have followed him around, drove him crazy probably, asking questions. I did that to a preacher. Well, I got saved by this. I prayed with this preacher to get saved. I got saved, followed him around for 3 days. I thought his wife was going to call the police. He went to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store with him. I had question after question after question. And it was just, I said, whoa, something's different here. I got to find out about this. I found out about salvation after I got saved. Yeah, after I got saved, the preacher started explaining to me scriptures like Romans 10:9, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What he was doing was telling me what I did, and that's what was happening. But I'd already done it. It was really quite interesting. He had to explain it after it happened. But anyway, so that's why people don't have to know everything to get saved. They just have to want Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Are you listening to me? That's a fact. All right. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, there it is right there. If you have faith, in other words, I believe this today, and tomorrow, well, I'm not sure about that. Then the next day, well, I think this is probably right. No, you got to settle on it. You got to give your life to it. You got to say, I'm gonna go with this train wherever it's going. And Jesus says it's going to heaven. Amen. You get on and you stay on it through everything in your life. Jesus said, when he said verily, he meant something. He said, verily, verily, you better write it down 3 or 4 times. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, that sounds like you could just ask anything. That's really not what it says, and it's not what it means. What it says is when you believe the Word of God and you speak the Word of God out of your mouth and you start thinking like Jesus Christ, what comes out of your mouth in prayer is going to be the Word of God, and He's going to do it. Hallelujah. Have you got it? Then He's going to do it. One of the reasons I said read the Word of God out loud at least a chapter a day, well, really, they say do it for 6 months to really start thinking like Jesus Christ. But when I say 6 months to people, they say, oh my goodness, how can I go that long? We all got an attention span of about 10 minutes. You know what I mean? 6 months, give me a break. So I try to be nice, say 30 days, and then at the end of the 30 days, I'll say, give it another 30. And you understand we'll eventually get to 6 months. That's the way you have to do it. We're all like Grace's second grade class, that you got to trick them into this thing, you know. Well, anyway, that's what it says. Obviously, if you say, I don't like the person next door burning their house down, he's not likely to do that. You understand what I'm saying? That's not God's thinking. So the issue is when you start getting your mind like Jesus, then whatever you ask, it's coming. I can tell you right now, hallelujah, praise God. It'll happen, you see. We have to start thinking like He does. And, you know, some people just go, well, if you have faith and doubt not, or it's called unbelief sometimes. Look in Mark 16, 14. I like to look in the Bible for these things. You know, then I believe what I read. And Mark 16 and verse 14. And I'm getting there the same time you are. Mark 16 and verse 14. All right. Afterwards there appeared unto the 11 as they sat eating, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not those things, not those who had seen him after he had risen. So they're talking about the fact that there were some people there that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, and they went and told others, and the others didn't believe. And obviously, if they don't believe, they're not going to receive. Whether it's salvation or anything else in the Bible, you're not going to receive anything you're not going to believe. You know, if I pray, I believe that God wants to heal people. I really do. He uses doctors. I understand that. I never tell anybody not to go to the doctor, even though we have one in the house. I never tell anybody not to go to the doctor. I go myself. But I believe that Jesus heals. I believe He does. And so what I'm going to start doing, so don't be surprised, people come down, they want prayer for healing. Yeah, healing doesn't come from me anyway. God's the healer. And the issue is, I'm going to say, do you want to be healed? You say, that's a dumb question. No, it's not. Jesus asked a guy had been sick for 37 years ago. You'd think he'd go up and say, man, you've been sick a long time. I'm going to heal you. No. What he said to him, do you want to be healed? Some people make a career out of their sickness. They really do. I haven't got anybody in mind. I'm preaching to myself. Don't you know? They really do. They make a career out of it. So they get attention when they're sick. I'm got anybody in mind here. I'm just saying, they do. There's probably been times that I got a little attention, you know, particularly when I was a kid, but, you know, you get attention if you're sick. You get a lot of attention. It's wonderful. You learn that works. You know, that's true. Really, it does. I'd rather get well and get attention because I'm serving Jesus. Are you listening to me? So I'm going to ask, you know, do you want to be well? Do you believe God can heal you? If you don't believe, go back to the pew. I'm wasting my time and you just walked for nothing. Really? I'm not kidding. If I'm going to ask for healing, if I don't believe I'm going to be healed, then I haven't got any business asking for it. Because it's not going anywhere. It's like they say, bite to the ceiling and come down and fall on your own head or something. You know. And that's about the way it is. We got to believe what God says. If you say, you go to Sunday and say, oh, hallelujah, that's wonderful, I believe it. And then you go home and do the opposite. Did you believe it? No, you did not. Oh my, aren't you glad you came today? You know what you have to pray? Lord, help my unbelief, because we all have it. Let's be honest. You see, that's what I'm saying. Lord, help my unbelief. You ought to start with that one, because that was a legitimate prayer in the scriptures. Lord, help my unbelief. Peter said that. Lord, help my unbelief. And he was right there with the Lord. We always think, boy, if I was with the Lord, if I'd have been one of those disciples, I would have been a rocket ship going to the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Peter was with him. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. Because the old nature just doesn't believe anything. Amen. Particularly about God. And we have some of that residue left over. So let's be honest. See, help my unbelief. And then I'm going to show you something interesting, I think. Psalm 78. And I guess I'm not going to get to hope yet. Just put hope in your refrigerator until I get to it. Psalm 78:41. You know, the more I get in the Word, the more I love Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. Psalm 78, which is not the right one. Is it or not? Let me just a minute. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. Long story short, the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, if you'll remember. And God was taking care of their needs. This was the most amazing miracle, if you think about it. There was probably 2.5 million or so people. They were out in the desert with nothing other than their belongings and food for 2 or 3 days. And wouldn't you believe the food ran out? Here they are, out in the middle of the desert. There's no food. There's not even bugs to eat, probably. No locusts out there. There's nothing. And so, and you know, at times, I know this is heresy, but at times, God allows us to get into a place where there's no food. And I'm using that as an example. Well, he gave them manna. And what he was teaching them, first there was no water, and he gave them water out of a rock. And then all of a sudden he said, I'm going to give you manna, and it comes down from heaven. And every morning they went out and picked it up. All they had to do was go out and get it, bring it back. Well, there's so much here. A day's supply at a time. God didn't tell you to have faith for tomorrow. He says, have faith for the day. And so he gave them this manna, and they had it had everything in it they needed to be healthy. Everything. Another miracle he did, their clothes never wore out, their shoes never wore out. They didn't have shoe repair, didn't need it. It was all that never wore out. The entire 40 years, for those that lived that long, and there weren't many. And so what he was teaching them, depend on God on a daily basis. Whatever situation you're going through, I don't care what it is, depend on God on a daily basis. Have faith in him. He will take care of your situation. And when your time comes, he'll make sure you get to be with him. So don't worry about that part of it. Just take this day at a time. Depend on him for the day. Get the faith for the day. Speak the word of God for today. Help the person you're supposed to help for today. And that kind of thing. You do it a day at a time. But, and he said, if you keep on moving, I'm going to bring you to a place, it's called the promised land. That was not heaven. It was the spirit-filled, faith-following, Jesus-loving life. That's what it was. It was for this life. And they just kept complaining, and they kept, one day they believed, next day they didn't believe. One day they wanted to go back to Egypt, next day they wanted to go on. Sometimes they didn't want to do anything. And so we come down to verse 41 in Psalm 78. Well, let's go to 40. Psalm 78, 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Why? Not because they didn't have everything they needed. It was because they didn't believe God. And he was teaching them day by day, project by project, line upon line, etc. He says, we have a goal. We have a place we're going. I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to grow in the Spirit. I want you to grow in your Christian life. And I don't want you to be the same tomorrow as you were yesterday. I want you to be stronger, higher, more blessed. And they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yea, they turn back and tested God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I love to call Jesus the Holy One of Israel. I love that. It's wonderful. The Holy One of Israel, they limited what he could do in their life in this world, and only two out of approximately 2.5 million people went into the promised land. Only two, Joshua and Caleb. Caleb was 80 years old, and he said, give me that mountain, I'm going to take it, hallelujah. That guy was with the program. Yes, he was. So I'm going to pray a spirit of Caleb over this whole place in the name of Jesus. Father, pour out the spirit that was in Caleb who went forward and took everything that God gave him. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'll tell you, it's just, the Word of God is so good. It is so good. And God will take us and day by day, by day, by day, if we follow Him, we're going to reach that goal of the high calling in Jesus Christ, and we will receive that word that everybody wants to receive, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's stand before the Lord.